This weekend is Memorial Day in the United States. It's a day when we remember and honor those who have died in military service for the United States, a day when we think about what it means to be an American. And I'd like to provide a framework for how we can understand what it means to be a Jew, an American, and for many of us, a Zionist. We have been accused of dual loyalty throughout the ages. This accusation is that Jews have a dual loyalty, that we're not to be trusted because our true allegiance is to our religion or maybe to a different country. Dual loyalty arises when a citizen or group of citizens holds political allegiance to another state or entity which could challenge their loyalty to the state. And the assumption of this charge is that it's impossible to hold multiple political loyalties, and this multiplicity is denied any validity. This charge of untrustworthiness dates back thousands of years. In the Middle Ages, Christian leaders promoted the idea that Jews crucified Jesus and they used the blood of Christian children in rituals, and Jews were attacked almost every year in one town or another in Europe because of this charge. When Napoleon emancipated the Jews in France after the French Revolution, he said that he would grant them full equality if they would reaffirm that they were subject to French law and would no longer consider themselves, quote, a nation within a nation. In Damascus in 1840, a Christian disappeared and a Jew was arrested and charged with the ritual murder of the Christian. After a forced confession, the local mob attacked the Jewish community. The French government became involved due to its Middle Eastern ambitions, supported charges against the Jewish barber. French Jews were placed in a difficult position as French citizens. Should they support France's ambitions in the Middle East? But as Jews, shouldn't they criticize and oppose their government's support of a malicious crime against Jews? Eventually, a Jewish-French politician, Adolphe Crémieux, assisted in the release of the Jewish prisoners in Damascus, but thereafter, French patriots argued that love of their brethren would always be greater than their love for the French Jews. Would always be greater than love of the French Jews for France. And they were concerned about dual loyalty. In 1894, Alfred Dreyfus, a French military captain who was Jewish, was falsely accused of passing military secrets to the Germans and was convicted in a French military court. Following his arrest, an anti-Semitic newspaper broke the story and praised his incarceration, calling Dreyfus a traitor and noting his Jewish heritage. The Nazis falsely accused Jews of having betrayed their country and undermining its security. Hitler blamed German Jewish soldiers for Germany's defeat in World War I. In 1946, Stalin attacked Jewish writers as rootless cosmopolitans who were not fully loyal to the Soviet Union. Shortly before the creation of the State of Israel, Arab Jews were accused of prioritizing a Zionist agenda above the interests of their fellow citizens, and this led to massacres of Jews in Egypt and Libya. After the founding of the State of Israel, thousands of Jews were arrested in Egypt, and after the Six-Day War, Egyptian authorities rounded up Jewish men and arrested them as Israeli prisoners of war. In 2007, prominent professors from the University of Chicago and Harvard, Stephen Walt and John Mersheimer, wrote an article entitled "The Israel Lobby in U.S. Foreign Policy," lamenting the disproportionate influence of Zionists or the so-called Israel Lobby, as if a foreign government had implanted a hostile political force inside the Capitol. Currently, dual loyalty accusations occur on U.S. campuses when Jewish students are asked to denounce the actions of the Israeli government in order to participate in progressive activities. The accusation of dual loyalty is different than the concern of a conflict of interest, which occurs when individual relationships or considerations may influence decisions or actions. This charge levied against Jews discredits them and calls into question their loyalty to their country of residence simply because they are Jewish, to portray them as a dangerous fifth column. And here's the question I'd like to address. Do we have dual loyalty because we love Israel or being Jewish? How should we view ourselves? While the accusation of dual loyalty is often used as an anti-Semitic trope, it also presents a challenge to diaspora Jewry, especially after this establishment of the State of Israel. If I were to say that I love New York, but Jerusalem is my home, and someone then tells me to go home, is that anti-Semitic? But what does this statement mean? Do we have dual loyalty, and is there anything wrong with that? Is it dual loyalty for an American Jew to prefer to serve in the IDF over the American army? How should we as Jews view ourselves as a Jew, as an American, and as a Zionist? And how do we respond to claims of dual loyalty if we say that our true home is Israel and we would rather serve in the IDF than the American army? So I think the first point is that there's a distinction between law-abiding and loyalty. We are law-abiding and we do not seek to undermine the government. There's a difference between being law-abiding and loyal. The dual loyalty accusation hurled against us is that we try to undermine national interest because we are Jewish or Zionist. The assumption is that we violate secular law because we are Jews. Now in Halacha, we reject that assumption completely. Whatever our feelings of Judaism or Zionism, we believe that we must observe the law of the land in which we live. And the Gemara writes that Dina de Machusa Dinahu, that the law of the land is the law, it's the halacha. We're halachically obligated to follow secular law. There are different theories why this is so. Is it based on social contract? Is there an obligation to follow the laws of Dinim, or is a principle called Hefker based in Hefker? Whatever the theory behind it, this is it's a principle in the Gemara. There's a discussion as to the limits of the principle. The Ramah rules that it only applies to taxation and laws that benefit the king or society, but not for inheritance. The Tashbetz writes it doesn't apply to Isurim, that if the government tells us not to observe Shabbos, so under Dina de Machus Adina, we don't have to listen to them. The Rambam writes it doesn't apply to discriminatory law. So if there's like a tax specifically on Jews, we have no halakha obligation to pay the tax if it's discriminatory. What's clear, though, is that Judaism says that we must observe all the fair, non-discriminatory laws of the land that allow us to engage in the free exercise of religion. Generally speaking, the anti-Semitic claim of dual loyalty presumes that we are trying to undermine the state through nefarious illegal activity, and Jewish law certainly rejects that accusation. I am halakhically obligated to observe the law of the land. But are we loyal citizens? So what exactly is loyalty? How do we as Jews view our loyalties? What does it mean to be a loyal citizen? So a loyal citizen is more than just someone who follows the laws and regulations of his country or community. It's more than someone who simply respects the legal system. A loyal citizen is someone who is deeply committed to his country or community. There is a sense of allegiance, dedication, and support for the nation, its values, institutions, and sometimes its leaders. And based on this definition of loyalty, can we be a loyal Jew and a loyal American and a loyal Zionist for that matter? Well, do we believe in praying for the government? Already in Sefer Yirmiyahu, the Navi says that we should pray for the welfare of the government at the outset of the Babylonian exile, but there it's for our own self-interest. In Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Chanina states that we should pray for the welfare of the government, but that is simply because anarchy is dangerous. Yalmoli Mora Ish Esreel Chaim Blao, that without a functioning government, then there would be anarchy and people would swallow each other up. A stable government is better than social chaos. Prayers for the government historically may have been created in order to appease the government, but there's no real evidence that there is necessarily a feeling of affiliation with the government based on the prayer. So that's not a helpful avenue to answer the question about the Jewish view of loyalty when it comes to governments. The truth is, when I address the question of whether I'm a loyal Jew, a loyal American, or a loyal Zionist, my answer is that I'm loyal to God. My highest calling is to God, and that mission is eternal and knows no geographical boundaries. Therefore, it would seem that we place our loyalties as a Jew first and our place of residence second. Now, Rabbi Yonah understands that the requirement to pray for the government, and that in his commentary on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, is that we must feel the pain of others, even non-Jews. And Rav Soloveitchik wrote an essay called Confrontation in 1964. It is a very influential text in the discussion of Jewish-Christian dialogue, and Rav Soloveitchik placed limits on theological discussions between Jews and Christians. However, in this essay, he encourages engagement between Jews and Christians on secular issues of mutual concern. We are committed to the general welfare and progress of mankind, but we also recognize our otherness as a metaphysical covenantal community. We are committed not because we are Jewish, but because we were created in the image of God. Rav Hirsch wrote in Chorev that a Jew has the obligation to work for the entire society's welfare and to be loyal to the land in which he lives. And the question is America any different than any other host country in our years of exile? If we have this responsibility, what some refer to as tikkun olam, to make the world a better place, is it the same when we were living in any other country as living in America? Now, Moshe Feinstein felt that fundamentally, America is not any different than any other country that we've lived in exile. It's a Medina shel Chesed. It's a country of kindness. It's a host country that's been kind to us, and therefore we should express our hakaras hatov to them, because they have been kinder and gentler than other nations, so we should respond in kind. And he writes this in a letter in 1984 about voting, and also in other contexts as well. But maybe America was different. Maybe there's another way to look at America, different than the way Rav Moshe Feinstein looks at it. Maybe America in its founding was not a country that was kind to Jews. It's not us and them. We are them. We are no different than any other American citizen. America is a government of the people, by the people, for the people. We are the people. And Jews expressed this idea as early as 1790. There's a famous correspondence between Moses Statius, the warden of the Hebrew congregation of Newport, Rhode Island, and George Washington. And in this correspondence, it's clear that it's clear that we are not simply tolerated by the host nation, but we are equals to everyone who lives here. In fact, Washington writes this explicitly in his correspondence. He writes, "All possess alike liberty of conscience and immunities of citizenship. It is not now no more that toleration is spoken of, as if it was by the indulgence of one class of people that another enjoyed the exercise of their inherent natural rights. It's not simply there is a host country, and we came to this country, and the first country tolerated us. No, we are the Balabatim, we are the people. There's no Jews and non-Jews, they're all the same. That is the foundation of this country. We are part of society, and to be a Jew, to be an American, poses no contradiction. And because we are part of society, we have an ability, an obligation to shape it as human beings. We have a responsibility to the world around us, and we live in a country when we can actively contribute to the well-being of that country because it allows us to do so. And it's founded on certain principles that are consistent with Jewish principles. So if that's the case, we should feel loyal and connected to that country and try to improve and enhance that country. America was founded on many principles that are very consistent with traditional Jewish faith. Equality, the dignity of man, tolerance, and we should be loyal to those values as consistent with Jewish values. The question is, though, how do we decide between Jewish loyalties and American loyalties, prioritizing a Jewish cause versus prioritizing an American cause? So I think that there are two major factors that we need to consider, and they sometimes may result in opposing perspectives. But I think these are two very important factors that we need to consider in prioritizing loyalties in a particular situation. So first of all, when it comes to tzedakah, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, says that there are priorities. A Jew takes precedence over a non-Jew. Local city takes precedence over non-local. And the concept is that even though we care about everyone, Jews are like family, so a Jew takes precedence over non-Jews. So if we have the ability to express our loyalty as Jews to help a Jewish cause versus helping a non-Jewish cause, and we can only do one, we should prioritize the Jewish cause. But at the same time, there's Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, which says that if we have the ability to influence our family, and we don't, we're held accountable for that. If we have the ability to influence our city, and we don't do so, we're also held accountable. And the same thing with the entire world. So what this Gemara really means is that to the extent that we can impact our society, we have a responsibility to do so. So really, you have these two factors. One is Jewish needs come first in general, but at the same time, if we can be very effective to impact society, and more so than the broader society, more so than maybe a Jewish cause at this point. So that's also a very important value. We have to see, on the one hand, what is necessary, on the other hand, what are our kochos, what are our abilities, and what is easier for us to do to affect, to make society better. So perhaps could be that from an effectiveness standpoint, maybe we would prioritize a non-Jewish cause over a Jewish cause. But I think those are the two factors we have to ask ourselves. Number one is Jewish cause generally comes first. But number two is, what can I be most effective in impacting? And where can I do that? And we have to balance both of those values. Rabbi Lam once gave a drasha where he said that our attitude ought to be enlightened self-interest. Both elements, self-interest and enlightenment. Like what Hillel said in Pirkei Avos, Im ein ani li mi li, I must have, if I'm not to me, then who am I? I must have self-interest. Ukshe ani la'atzmi mani, but if I'm only for myself, then what am I? What contribution can I make to the world at large? We are good citizens, but we must be devoted and caring towards our countries, our neighbors, and the world at large. Patriotism may not be our end goal, but within the framework of Judaism, we are given the leeway and obligation to be decent, devoted, and prominent citizens. We should certainly feel free to serve the United States Army to fight for American values, as long as our religious needs are met. But an argument could be made that our priority is with our family, our extended family, which is the state of Jewish people, to serve in the IDF instead. But I can see responsible people who want to make contributions, see someone saying, I want to serve in the IDF, and someone else saying, I want to serve in the American Army. Depends, again, all things being equal, priority to Jewish causes, but where can I be most effective? We do not suffer from dual loyalty. We have a single loyalty to God alone, who wants us to be caring and gracious to all. Now, is Zionist support inconsistent with being an American? In the mid-1910s, when most American Jews were at best ambivalent about Zionism, precisely because it exacerbated the anxiety of dual loyalty, Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis stood as a proud Zionist, and he argued that being a Zionist was consistent with being an American. And he argued that American identity, when thought through to its deepest roots and intentions, yielded a much broader mix of loyalties than the heritage of its founders, and Zionism could be moving along the same basic direction as Americanism. They were a reflection of each other, and being a strong American and being a strong Zionist is consistent. And it's for good reason that our enemies refer to Israel as the little Satan and America as the big Satan, because they view our ideologies as similar. So just to summarize, the accusation of dual loyalty often assumes that we behave in a manner that undermines our host country. In response, first of all, we have a halachic obligation to be a law-abiding citizen and do nothing that undermines the laws of our country if the laws are evenly applied and don't infringe on our free exercise of religion. But are we loyal to America, Israel, or Judaism? The answer is, we are loyal to God. We have a responsibility to society at large. Many of us believe that America is different than other host countries because we are truly viewed as equals in the Constitution. So we have this opportunity to identify with America in a greater manner than with any other host country in our exile. Not mere toleration, but we are the Balabais. Prioritizing Jewish and American causes depends on both loyalty to family and on our broader family, our Jewish family, but also the effectiveness in bringing about change. And Zionism is consistent with loyalty to America. Both are based on shared democratic ideals. God willing, on Memorial Day, let us further our commitment and loyalty to the United States of America, consistent with our loyalty to God and to Eretz Yisrael.